Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Welcome to another edition of the Better Together podcast. I'm your co-host, Rosario Picardo.
And I'm your other co-host, Callie Picardo. And we are so excited because today we have with us Wes Olds, who is the pastor of Grace Church down in Cape Coral, Florida. And he is also the author of a new book called Confronting the Thief Within, How I Quit Earning God's Love and Embraced My Real Identity. And other cool thing about Wes is Wes knew both me and Roz before we knew each other. Wes was my youth pastor back in the day in Lexington, Kentucky. And when Roz was in seminary in Kentucky, he was a ministry intern at Wes's church. And so he knew both of us in different stages of our life before we even knew each other and has invested in us spiritually. And so we are just so grateful to have him with us on the Better Together podcast today. Wes, welcome.
It is such an honor to be here with you both. And it is a joy how God does these cool things with relationships and weaves our lives together. And it's a real blessing to be here with you both. Good to see you and hear you.
Love it.
Thanks. Well, you've gone through a few changes over the last few months anyway. One of those being in your introduction, what Callie said, not the book, but this new role that God has called you into. So yeah. You want to share that briefly?
Sure. Well, I got a new job. Yeah. I began as a lead pastor of Grace Church, and we're, as Callie said, down here in Cape Coral is the original campus. So we got two other campuses and three fresh expressions in Lee County. And so it's a dynamic church, and we just get a front row seat at life change. And it is amazing, and it's a huge honor. I've been here 17 years as the campus pastor of the original campus. And so it's kind of a natural deal to get to serve in this new way.
Well, we are so excited for you, Wes. But I've loved this book. I've started reading it myself. And some of your journey, pastors, I know everyone knows this, but pastors aren't perfect. They never struggle with anything. It's really easy to lead people because people never have any problems or interpersonal dynamics. But as we learn how to be better together, Wes, you've had a little bit of a journey in it yourself. Where did this book come from?
So when Roz and I were serving together in the inner city of Lexington, Kentucky, my life fell apart, is the best way to summarize it all. A whole series of tragedies revealed that I didn't have a solid understanding of who I am and my true identity in Christ. I have and had a bad case of what my counselor called others' esteem. And that's where I would get my worth from what other people thought about me. And being a pastor, it made it really hard because in any given day, you can have people thrilled with who you are and people mad at everything you do and somewhere in between. And so I rode that roller coaster and it was terrible. And so these tragedies that included the death of our son at birth, his name was Daniel. And that was kind of the last thing that just drove me into deep despair. And so I was standing up, Roz was there, and I was proclaiming the good news of Jesus, you know, while I was living in a private hell, honestly. And one day I drove myself to the emergency room after preaching. I had a fever, and the doctor set me down and said, "You need to practice what you preach. You don't have a medical problem. You've got a spiritual problem. You don't know who you are. Your soul is wounded. You're just trying to make it through." And so that was a start of a new journey in my life. And of all the books that I thought I was going to write in my expertise, if you will, I ended up writing about the worst period of my life and just one failure after another that then Jesus redeemed and gave me this incredible, solid identity as a child of God, person of worth. Child of God, person of worth. The way to remember that is COGPOW, C-O-G-P-O-W, C-O-G-P-O-W. That's who we are. And it's a gift that we receive. It's not a status to achieve. And so there's no more earning in that. There's no more others' esteem. It's living with the security of God's love that nothing can take away, not even death, not even the worst losses. And so that started me on this brand new adventure in my life. And I've never been the same.
That's so awesome. And I love that, child of God, person of worth. And I know in the book you say it's not child of God or a separate person of worth. It is truly one in the same. You are child of God, person of worth. And that's so powerful. But I know it's hard for some people to receive. Like, well, they might know it cognitively, but to get it deep within, I mean, how do you get it to really settle down where it's not just, oh, I know I'm a child of God, but no, I know it. Like, how do you get it deep in?
Yeah, the point of keeping these things together is because we like to separate them. We like to say, I'm a child of God, comma, or and a person of worth. But this is a package deal that God has for us. John 1:12 says, for all that receive Jesus and called upon his name, he gives the right to be called children of God. And that's who you are. But if you're a child of God, that means you're a person of worth. That means you're a person of eternal worth, meaning from God. You have been blessed by God, and you're aware of that. And it's just coming to an awareness, I think. Callie, you ask how to get that from one place to another. The first is to combine them. Sometimes I would think, well, I'm a child of God. Yeah. I'm a kind of a worthless child of God. I'm a failing child of God. Yeah, and he loves me because he has to. No, he loves me because he chooses to. And he loves whoever is listening to this today. I want you to know God loves you right as you are today. You're the apple of his eye. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people belonging to the Most High God. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God delights in you right now. And that's why he gave his son to die on a cross for us, is because of out of that deep love. And being raised to this new life means embracing who God says about me, not who I say about me, or not who other people say about me, or my mom, or my kid, or my next door neighbor who hates me, or whatever. We have to find our identity squarely in the Father, our Heavenly Father.
That's so good, Wes. And can you speak on those thieves that can try to rob us of our identity too?
Yeah, I've got a den full of thieves. To begin to strip them of their power, my counselor, Bonnie Crandall, who came up with COGPOW. And
Wes, can a pastor can see a counselor? Is that okay?
Well, you wouldn't believe it. Yes. We pastors need counselors really bad. I've got a counselor and a psychiatrist, and I need them both. Yes. And, you know, the way that she broke this down for me is to think of all the different voices in my head as a village full of Smurfs. That's right. Those little blue creatures, Smurfs. And each one of the Smurfs have one defining characteristic. One of them might be joyful. One of them might be talented, happy, singing. One of them might be grumpy, all those things. But I worked with her on identifying the different voices, and I gave them names. So I have, joyful Smurf, and I have Wes's creative Smurf, and I have a loving Smurf, and I have also an anxiety Smurf. And behind him is an angry Smurf. He's a bad dude. And then I've got faith-filled Smurf. But also I've got abandonment Smurf. And so in my head, I know this sounds absolutely insane. I already told you I have a psychiatrist, so be at peace, in society. So I identify these different voices and recognize this is who I am, these different thoughts in my head. And I need to be the king of my village. And Jesus gives me that power. Now Jesus is Lord, but I'm the king, and Callie, you're the queen of your village. And the first step is just recognizing the different voices inside of our personalities and all that makes us who we are. Some people call these squirrels and some people call them gerbils. And, you know, we give little names to our thoughts sometimes. But when I pray the prayer from Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my heart. You know, sometimes we need others and we need the Lord to help us even know who we are. Because I'll be going along having a wonderful day and then all of a sudden I'll have this thought and think, well, where did that come from? You know, that just slows me down or makes me depressed or causes me anxiety. And it really goes back to a woundedness that we all encounter because we come into this world, we have a blank wall, if you will, and God designed that for us to have a life of blessings written on that wall. I'm switching images on you. But what can happen is that people who sometimes are even well-intentioned write graffiti on the wall and write things that are not true and lies that confuse us. And maybe it was somebody that was supposed to care for us and love us, but they harmed us instead. Or maybe it's a well-meaning mantra of some kind that, frankly, the devil uses to twist and turn to haunt us. So something like do your best can, you know, that's a good thought. Of course, you want somebody to do their best. But if that becomes do your best or else you're not lovable, or do your best so that you can prove you're a person of worth, well, then that's toxic territory. That's a wall full of graffiti. And so these couple of images help me to be able to give language, and it's kind of silly language, but it again, it de-arms the, defangs these deep thoughts of, you know, suffering through grief. I've got a grieving Smurf, you know, and those ways of talking about that help me to give voice to those deeper inner parts of me. And some of the Smurfs needed to be assured of God's love, and some of the Smurfs needed to share their story. You know, how did we get so angry, Wes? Well, let's go into the village and find out the story. And come to find out, I had some good reasons to be angry. And behind all that was a fear of abandonment. That's probably my deepest fear in my life, and I came on it honestly, and then I nursed that Smurf to become almost a giant, that when people would reject me or I felt rejected, then he got his energy, you know. And what I needed to do was not, I used to shame him. I used to be like, you know, yell at myself, stop it, Wes. You know, this is, you know, and I'd preach to myself. I'd say prayers, God, take this away. And what I needed to do was to love him, and to love that guy back into security, and to say, you know, thanks for being there for me, but I've met Jesus now, and I want you to meet him too, and he's going to be with us now. So I've been able to retrain him. Actually, God did. I've retrained Abandonment Smurf, so he's not always running around with his hair on fire. He is now on the lookout for others that feel abandoned. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of got a radar for folks that came from my own pain.
Oh, gosh, I love that. I love how that fear that you had, since you've gone through healing, now you can be that wounded healer coming alongside other people. And I know I've definitely felt that power in naming, because I think a lot of us have felt like, oh my goodness, to be a good Christian, I can't have these thoughts. I can't fear abandonment. I can't have this grief. I can't have this anger. Like, as a good Christian, I'm not supposed to be angry. I'm supposed to smile. I've got the joy of the Lord. That's I'm supposed to love everyone. I'm blessed. You're blessed. I'm fine. We're all fine. And when we can actually name and be real and vulnerable with one another, not only does it help us heal, but it really helps us be better together, because it creates this space where others can be vulnerable as well. And it sounds like God's really giving you some of that space through your own healing to be able to be a better pastor, perhaps even a better spouse, father, you know, friend and everything.
Yeah. When I came back from, I went to a counseling center in Colorado for a couple of weeks. And when I came back, my son, who was 18 at the time, said, what happened to you? You're different. And it was because Jesus did some deep healing in my life. And in those, you know, dark crevices of my soul, where sometimes the Smurfs would all gather in the darkness, you know, and then ambush me. Mm-hmm. And we do need each other, and we are better together, because with mental health professionals and counselors, but also just in the family of God, I've been able to find folks that can help me understand me but also bring healing. And some of this also involves maturing. This is not just a feel-good mantra. Because Paul says in the love chapter that people love to have read at weddings, but they skip this verse a lot of times. And Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke, thought, and reasoned as a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things and childish ways behind me. And so some of this journey has been for me to grow up and mature in Christ. And that requires honesty. And it's painful. And, you know, yet when we're honest with each other, it just breeds this contagious honesty among others. And we actually bond together through our pain instead of trying to outdo one another with our successes. And so, again, the last book I thought I would write would be, you know, a whole chapter after chapter on how I kind of blew it, you know. But people seem to be responding to it. And when I go and share it with people, they come up to me and be like, wow, nobody's ever shared like that before, especially a pastor, you know, yeah. who talks about their problems. And that's a real issue for some people in some professions, where, again, that others esteem, we buy into the lie that we have to be a certain way and present a certain way and make certain people happy. And that's a painful way to live when you can't be real.
Yeah. Well, I know that struck with me as well. And when I heard it, was I'm like, I'm a recovering people pleaser too. I saw in your trailer that you named yourself as a recovering, angry, burned out people pleaser.
Amen to that. That's what I was. That's right. And now I have joy like I've never had it before. And I tell some people it's like a superpower to be freed from those things. You know, I haven't been able to fly yet, but almost.
Wes, you tell a story in your book about you and your spouse and how some of all this was impacting, and you went to counseling together so that the counselor could fix your spouse. Roz is pretty amazing, but we definitely get into the trap of trying to fix each other because, you know, clearly the other person's the problem. When we're honest, maybe not. What did you discover as you started going through that process of what needed to change in marriage to make you all better together?
Yeah. After our son died, right after his funeral, and I remember leaving the cemetery, and then I just was overcome with this furious anger. It was the only way I knew how to express all my emotions. You know, it's kind of like fight or flight. Those are my two choices. And so the first person that impacted, of course, is my first neighbor, my wife, Becky. And I was convinced she had the problem. Of course, she's going through her own private hell. She lost, you know, her child that she loved and carried. And, you know, it was just a nightmare. And so we began to fight. And I was convinced she needed help. And so I said, why don't we go to a counselor so we can get you fixed? And she said, I'm not going to a counselor with you. And so I went by myself. And I said, I'm here, Bonnie, to fix Becky. So I need your help with this. And she said, well, Becky's not here, so I bet we talk about you for a little bit. And I'm like, well, okay, if you think that's necessary. And within about 2 minutes, I was a puddle of tears. And kind of like this dam broke in my soul. And all of the grief and all of the just exhaustion from trying to please everybody. And I felt like there was something I should have done to save my son. Even though he had spina bifida, I thought maybe I didn't pray right or, you know, something like that. And so Becky and I, she finally decided to come to counseling about 3 months in. Bonnie saw us one time together and she said, I need to meet with you individually for like a year. And so we had just all this pain built up, each one of us. And so you put two very, very wounded, broken, grieving people together. And it's a bad scene. So we were sleeping in different parts of the house for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. Threats of divorce were common. And yet the Lord, by his grace, saw us through. Bonnie's husband, Ron Crandall, is a professor at Asbury, just retired not too long ago. And he prayed for us during that whole time. And it, you know, it's a miracle. We're going to be married 30 years in May. And, a lot of couples that lose children or go through what we've been through, that included some health challenges in my life and in Becky's life too, and other things we should be divorced like 10 times over. And, you know, if not for those moments in counseling and those kind of things, we could have been in trouble and didn't need to be. You know, we generally loved each other. I mean, that was the thing. I mean, it wasn't like the marriage was done. It was just we were damaged. And we both wanted to work it out, but we couldn't do it. We couldn't work our way into that. So God had to love us into that healing.
So, Wes, I know a lot of people might be listening to this and thinking, I want to get there. I want to get there. I want to get through. I want to get to those deeper layers to get rid of some of the thieves within that are stealing my joy, that are causing me these hangups. And I want to get to the place of just deeply understanding I'm a child of God, person of worth. Where do you start on the journey? How do you even get there? I mean, that sometimes it can just feel like, and if you're trying to fix yourself, you probably won't get there. So how do you get there?
Yeah. Yeah. I would start with Jesus and knowing it, that he loves you and he doesn't want to fix you. He wants to love you. You know, you're not a set of broken toys. You know, we are all his. And he loves us. And to just begin to rest in that, and even to say to yourself 10, 12 times a day, I'm the beloved of God, can begin to change our thought patterns that have been, you know, those paths have been worn and direct us towards damaging thought patterns. So, you know, simple as setting an alarm on your phone. I did this for several weeks, and it just would come up, you're the beloved of God. And I would think somebody's calling me or texting me, and I'd think, boy, I'm so important, and I wonder who this is. And, you know, my other's esteem would kick in, and it would say, Wes, you're the beloved of God. And I put it there. I mean, but it was still very helpful for me. And then I think community is better together. You got to get with some other folks. And even just to say what you said, I think is a good script, Callie. Hey, I want to go deeper. See, I think so many of us, when it comes to the Christian life, we're stuck in the, you know, the shallow end of the pool, if we want to use that analogy, or we're just not grown up in our faith. And God wants to actually give us this gifts of restoring us to our original created factory settings. You know, he wants to restore the image of God in each one of us. And so those are there. The recovery community is the best at this. If you have others esteem, go to an Al-Anon meeting. If there's some substance or hurt habit or hang up that you have, or any other addiction, the rooms of recovery are a safe place to discover your true identity. And so I would encourage people there. And then, of course, counseling. We need to go back and find out what's going on. I've got a mantra when this comes, when something's wrong with me, something's wrong because something's wrong. And I know that's very simplistic. But when I'm feeling angry or upset, something deeper is going on in my soul. And I need to stop and pay attention to that and invite Jesus into that. And a lot of it is grief that is untold in our society. We are just bombarded with tragic situations, just if you look at Twitter. And so, ding, here's my alerts right now. Something bad is probably happening. And so we have to have a chance to grieve in our life. One of the discoveries I had was about the Bible full of lamentations and laments. And to be able to bring that before God, sometimes in my anger, I needed to express that anger, but I took it to the wrong person. I took it to Becky instead of taking it to God, you know, and I could, with the Lord, he's big enough to take it. And I can shake my fist and I can say, I am so angry, you know, and why is my son not here? And what do I do with this grief? And I could just rage, if you will, until I spin out, you know, and then I can hear that whisper again. I love you. I'm here. You're my beloved. And so lament, the power of lament, and that's what counseling is. It's going back and grieving losses that maybe we didn't have time to do. You know, you're not a bad person. You just didn't have time to do it because you had to get on with something. And so all of us in our life went through something that causes grief.
That's so good, Wes. you know, we all have a thief within or multiple thieves, yeah, as you mentioned, and we are in need of healing, and God wants to heal us and set us free. So thank you for your challenge to us today. Where can we find out more about the book, pick it up?
Sure.
Yeah.
So Invite Resources is the publisher. And so you can type into Google Invite Resources. You can also find it wherever you want to buy books. Also on Amazon, you can download it on Kindle. It's at Barnes & Noble and other places like that. And so I encourage you to pick one up and begin that journey, maybe with somebody else with you, to reflect with each other to process some of this and begin that journey of healing.
Awesome.
And you've also got a great church. People can worship with you all online. Where can they do that if they want to hear your preaching or worship with you or the community down there at Grace Church?
Yeah, go to egracechurch.com. E is an electronic, gracechurch.com. And then you can just hit watch live, or we've got all the normal stuff, you know, YouTube channels and other things that you can watch old sermons or whatever you want to find. But we do talk about our identity as COG pals quite a bit. We're COG pals, loving other COG pals in Jesus' name. And so everybody's invited to join in on that.
Oh, well, we're grateful for you and the ministry that you have. And thank you for just being willing to be vulnerable and honest and share your story, because our prayer is that as others hear it, they will be opened and empowered to be real with God and themselves and others in ways that bring them to healing. And honestly, guys, when we do this work in our own lives and with the Lord, it helps us be better together, because otherwise we come in and we start bleeding over everybody else with the baggage. And so, Wes, yep, thanks for helping us unpack how to do some of that deeper level of healing in our own lives, not to fix ourselves, but just to receive God's love.
That's it. It's that simple and that complicated. Yeah. And thank you for your ministries as well. God bless you both.
Our pleasure. Well, friends, thanks for listening today. We ask that you would share this podcast with someone that needs inspiration, whether it's a family member, coworker, a friend, or someone you worship with. Go ahead and send them that today. And remember, until next time, we are better together. God bless.